This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the Alpha Centauri region, altering your locus coeruleus a mile above sea level from Intergalactic Prairie Studios. I just mixed three of my different intros into one. It's all good.
Nice.
This is Michael Dean. I am talking to Megan MK Lords. Are you there, Megan?
I'm here.
Okay. And I'm talking to Davi Barker, Mr. D. Barker. Are you there?
I'm good. I suppose if we're going with initials, I could be D.W. Barker.
D.W.
Then I'd
Barker.
Be seizing your W and it might get confusing.
D.B. Cooper. Cooper. Hey, have you guys been contacted by the government?
No, I don't think so.
10 worms. I mean, 10-4. That's Megan's new thing for 10-4. It's 10 worms. Because we like to say worms on this show. And if you're just tuning in and don't know what that means, I don't know what that means. Worms. We say it instead of word, which is really old dated hip hop slang. You know, word. It means like word. Your word is bond. Word to your mother. It means you speak the truth, my brother and sister. So we say worms, which is kind of a variation on that. Let's see. I did have
some odd encounters with private security this weekend. I should probably talk about.
We're going to get into Walker Stalker Con. We've got a couple announcements here. One is I was wrong. I said something on a recent show, something to the effect of like that I've been sober coming up on 20 years. I'm actually sober coming up on 21 years. But, you know, you kind of stop counting when you don't go to meetings all the time. And it's not like people are, you know, cheering you for just doing what you should do anyway. It's just one of the reasons I stopped going. But it's,
I mean,
you know,
it's not like a birthday, like you don't celebrate your last drink and remember it in vivid detail.
I tweeted my 20th year sober, but yeah, that was kind of a special occasion, I guess. But yeah, that day, I don't know. I don't care. Okay. Let's see. The Freedom Fiends website was largely down over the weekend. And then at one point came up, I made a placeholder page that was just a blank white page. And that was kind of a stopgap measure. It was kind of but it's back up now. That was kind of like a Band-Aid on a bleeding wound. And it was actually kind of a comment. It was inspired by a comment that Jim Jesus made. Jim Jesus said, you know, when Chris Cantwell, who we're going to talk about later, he who cannot be named, who's, if you don't know who Cantwell is, he's this guy. If you're listening on radio, you shouldn't know who Cantwell is because, you know, you don't follow the libertarian interwebs. He's a guy who kind of gets a lot of attention for, you know, shooting flags and burning flags.
He belongs in boiling water, right? That's what he said.
Did he? Oh, yeah. He likes bad attention. He likes attention. He doesn't care if it's bad or not. And, you know, he's made jokes.
Oh, I thought that was a frog in the boiling pot reference. I thought he was talking about gradual suicide. Like I must have misunderstood.
He's just jumping into the pot of boiling water. He doesn't want to wait. You know, he's a guy that irks a lot of people. He makes jokes about, he's made jokes about having sex with 2-year-olds. You know, he really likes to push people's buttons. And,
wow, I missed that one.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We could find that and put it in the show notes if you want. But you know, he brags about the fact that he gets a lot of web views, but and he likes to throw it in people's faces. He threw it in our faces recently, and then there was this whole scandal where MK Lords, our co-host tonight, said some critical things about him that were accurate, and he went ballistic. He he's a comedian who breaks the first rule of comedy, which is dishing it out and not taking it. And he also is a joke thief, and we're going to talk about that later. But Jim Jesus had made this comment, you know, about Cantwell saying, I have more web views than the Freedom Fiends. And Jim Jesus said, well, you know, the Freedom Fiends aren't a social network like your site. They don't invite people to constantly come in and argue with you.
Or be blocked
or have sock sure. puppets, which he does all those things. But
we have more torrenters than he does.
We certainly do. And in 100 years, we're going to be listened to, and he's going to be not even a footnote. He's going to be dust on the dust jacket. But the thing was, Jim Jesus pointed out, like, we don't have as much web traffic because our site's basically an RSS feed. People hear about it, they go listen to it, and they subscribe to the podcast and never go back to the site. So when our site started going down because of this problem with the plugin, I'm going to talk about later, I wanted there to be something up. So I just threw up this like white page that was basically just an RSS feed. And I kind of fell in love with it. I was kind of like, this would be great. No comments, no show notes, just links in an RSS feed. Like it looked like a 1995 web page. And I kind of wanted to keep it like that. And like, everybody close to me said, it's horrible. Get the site back up. So I got the site back up. Derek and I got the site back up.
It's just a throwback.
Yeah.
Back to 95. It was a good year.
Yeah. So it's back up and it's working pretty well. And we'll talk about the WordPress plugin WP Supercache, which should be considered a virus instead of a plugin, in my opinion. And we're also going to talk about Stefan Molyneux. We haven't talked about him in a while, but there is news. The man who hates government and hates intellectual property more than anything has recently started a corporation and filed a trademark, and we find that interesting, or I do. So I think that's the preface of all the topics. So let's get into Walker StalkerCon. Before we do that, though, I want to say that before the show, we were all talking about various experiences playing guitar, and I didn't realize, like, we all played guitar, and it's kind of like I used to define myself like, I'm a guitar player, and now it's kind of like, you know, oh, you do that? Okay, cool, whatever, you know. if you define yourself as one thing, you're going to end up kind of like sad and cold and alone and begging for change on the internet. I think being a, what's the word, Renaissance man or woman is the way to go. So you guys,
see, I kind of had a problem with that, though. Like, at least as far as me trying so many different instruments at one time. So I grew up in a family of musicians, and I was constantly surrounded by all different types of instruments, which is, I think, a really good experience to have as a kid. But I could never settle on one. So I just kind of half-heartedly learned a bunch of different ones. And instead of just focusing, but I will say I always had crushes on the guitarists. Like that was, I was always drawn to the guitarists of bands and stuff like that. I always thought they were kind of like, you know, they kind of have the ego, the kind of cool, you know, thing. But I ended up playing bass in a band. And then the longest I ever played an instrument was actually I played the clarinet for 3 years.
Well, do you know that joke? How many lead guitarists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah, 10. One to do it and 9 to say I could do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what you call a guy who follows a bunch of musicians around and goes to all their gigs?
A drummer?
Yeah, a drummer. The drummer. That's funny.
You know, I always wanted to be a drummer, but I just lacked the patience to learn, so I ended up a rhythm and bass guitarist.
You know the difference between a drummer and an extra large pizza with cheese?
What?
The pizza can feed a family of 4.
Oh, I thought that was a keyboardist joke for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It could be. you know how many punk rockers it takes to change a light bulb?
Oh my! How many?
No.
10. One to do it, and 9 to get on the guest list.
So true.
And we did not write those jokes. We're not joke thieves, unlike Chris Cantwell. All right, so go ahead, Davi. Tell me about the zombies.
So I go to this event called Walker Stalker Con. It's essentially a Walking Dead fan convention, but it's broadened into a general zombie and horror film fan convention. And I went to the one in San Francisco this weekend, and I go to table for my book Survivor Max, which is about an 11-year-old boy surviving in the zombie apocalypse by himself. And so I go around. One of the things that I do at these conventions is I spread the meme, kill Daryl already. Because Daryl is sort of like the fan favorite, and everybody has these, like, if Daryl dies, we riot shirts and stuff like that.
You're
going to
get stopped by the FBI. They're going to, like, really think there's someone you're trying
to
kill.
No, here's the thing. I got stopped by security. Like, these are people, like, dressed in, like, this is private security for the event staff, and they stopped me and told me I couldn't come in unless I changed my sign.
Whoa.
Really?
Really, but here's the thing. They were just pulling my leg. And so I want to say this to all private security out there. When you're in the uniform, you cannot pretend to be security because you are security. So it's
Hold
not a
on.
Joke.
No, that's the best time to troll someone, though. No, that's great. Like, of course you want to mess with people. I mean, I've like played security. Okay, I've actually been security at shows before, but not like security, like I'm going to throw you out just like, hey, do you got a wristband?
No, okay. These were guys with their hip side radio and their you know, screen printed polyester jacket.
So they were really intimidating is what you were saying.
Well, I mean, kind of, because maybe not intimidating in the classical cop sense, but intimidating in the sense that I have respect for private property, and so I viewed them legitimately.
Well, you know, polyester jackets don't grant extra rights. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
So, So that was part of it. The other thing is, so I made these buttons, right? This usually I do this buttons. With a cardboard sign, and I stand outside and I say, you know, kill Daryl already. But this time I made 1,000 kill Daryl already buttons. And whenever anybody reacted to my costume, I gave them a button.
You handed them a weapon.
Yeah.
You handed them something you could like poke in someone's ear and wiggle around and kill them with.
So as a vendor, the really organizers asked me, is there anything like small trinket like that you could like have our volunteers give out between panels to hold the audience's attention? And I'm like, why? Yes, I do. And I gave them 1,000 of these kill Daryl already buttons, which these volunteers were, of course, like derided and hated by the audience for giving out. But I heard a rumor that Michael Roker, the guy who played Merle, Daryl's brother, got a hold of these and was giving them out at his signing session.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
I like that actor. Awesome. That actor was in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer and JFK and almost played the same guy.
And really. Guardians of the Galaxy. He was essentially Merle but blue in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know what that is.
I also got Chandler Riggs, player of Carl, to sign my sign. So I at least have him signed off on the idea of killing Daryl.
All right.
Nice. Looking forward to... Walking Dead, which starts again this coming Sunday, you said?
Sunday. Second half of season 5.
Wow. Is that the last season?
No. I think they're contracted for at least like 7 or 8 seasons.
7 or 8 more seasons.
Yeah.
My
predictions for the end of 5th season is that Daryl dies, of course. And
I think that I would like to see a zombie government form.
Zombie government. Well, I mean, that would be, we have that now.
Yeah, it's democracy.
Right, that was the undead democracy.
Yeah.
Yep, they win. So what else happened at this Walker Stalker Con? Where was it?
So it was in San Francisco.
Where?
It was at a place called Fort Mason, which is sort of like it feels like a military base.
It was a military base. That's where I used to go.
It's also where Robot Wars got started years ago. My brother and I competed in Robot Wars when it was at Fort Mason.
It's where they used to have the NA Senate. Like the NA, like one person from each meeting would go once a month and decide things. I used to go there for that.
Worms.
Cool place, man. Worms. Fort Mason.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This is Dobby Barker from shinybadges.com. And I just want to personally apologize.
So you can do more on this? Jingle.
So yeah, I want to talk about the guy who told me he's a Fiend listener now.
Oh yeah,
and I want to talk about the crowd that around my table, because there was a huge crowd around my table and my neighbors complained.
He's too popular. It's bothering me. Like that.
Uh oh.
Yep.
Was the audience not distributed well enough?
Exactly. I was a nuisance. I was hoarding all of the.
You were a monopoly.
Yeah.
You were violating Marx's labor.
I've learned the secret of socialism, and that is if you give away free things, people will support you.
It's also interesting. That's also the secret. That can be a secret of capitalism. The initial secret of capitalism.
Well, you use socialism to bring people
to trick them, to lure them in, to sell them my capital.
I make like 85 cents on every Fiend's buttons order, which doesn't cover the time of putting them together and writing them out and accounting for them and sending them. It's a loss leader. It's free advertising.
Yeah, I give out a lot of Fiend buttons.
Oh yeah, then there's the accounting for the breakage of giving out fiend buttons to Davi to give out.
Yep.
I'm stealing for myself and giving them to you.
I've been the recipient of some of this.
And I sell those fiend buttons and give you a kickback, so it's just nepotism all over the place.
It really is.
Oh, isn't man.
That's how the libertarian economy should work. As long as we're not making much money, we should give as much away as we can.
You know, my autocorrect turns Chris Cantwell into Chris Cartel.
Really? Yeah. It turns it into Chris Kringle on mine, who's known for giving things away, although Cantwell's not. Do you think somebody has like called Chris and woken him up and said the fiends are going to talk about you by now? I'll bet you.
Oh no, he and I'm sure he's listening, like just waiting,
fapping.
They have a worm shaped bat signal in Keen, so that anywhere that Chris Cantwell is,
it goes out on Keen. Keen 411.
You guys, like, did you listen to that some garbage podcast thing? I said,
I've never listened to his podcast.
30 minutes, he was crying about losing Porkfest Idol. Like, I'm not even making that up. Like, someone pointed out to me, because I don't have time to look this stuff up. So, like, people, like, bring this stuff to me. They're like, hey, did you hear about this? And it's like, no, because I'm not actively searching this dude out. But he was like, no, go to this marker at 30 minutes in and listen to him. And so I was like, okay, I'll check it out. Because he commented on one of my articles I wrote. And so I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And
he blamed the patriarchy, right?
Dude, he blamed sexism. He said libertarians are. That's pretty much what the point I was going to make. Yeah, like he blamed sexism and that libertarians are sexist because it's a soft bigotry of low expectations.
Well, it's like the socialists,
because people had low expectations of me.
It's like it's like the socialists at the zombie festival. He's complaining because someone else is getting more attention in the next booth.
It's the opposite. We kind of expect girls to be good at spoken word. We expect big, dopey white guys to be bad
true,
at spoken
man. That
word.
Is true. That is true. And well, MK used to have dreadlocks. So.
I did, actually. So, yeah,
we would assume you'd be good
My
at
hair was still recovering in that video of Porkfest Idol from the dreadlocks. Like they were.
I've only ever listened to his podcast like to determine that the audio quality is horrible and I never wanted to listen to it again.
Like, you know what's funny? I've heard him talk about some garbage podcast like a dozen times, and it never occurred to me that it was a podcast.
Here we go. It's not. It's a video series. It's Mr. Michael Dean talking to MK Lords and Davi Barker. And Davi Barker was recently the victim of a social justice warrior conspiracy, apparently. Tell us about it, Davi.
Are we talking about the crowd at Walker Stalker Con? Is that what you mean?
They wanted you to redistribute your fans.
Yeah. So I sold out of books, which is great.
I sold out, man.
I'm
that's
if you give me $10, I will just give you a book.
There was somebody who said, I forget if it was Johnny Cash. There was somebody, it was either Johnny Cash or Metallica or somebody said, you know, those guys are in the same category. They kind of are in that they were unique at what they did. And although Johnny Cash was cool up until and past when he died, and he's still cool, and Metallica was stopped being cool when they sued their fans, sent them DMCAs. But one of those guys said
they went on Molyneux on their fans.
It might have been that should be a verb. It might have been Frank Zappa. It was somebody I like from back in the day said, yeah, selling out is good. I mean, it was Neil Young. He said, it's when you sell out all your records and they have to make more.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like something Neil Young would say. Yeah.
So I sold out in Atlanta when I went to Walker Stalker Con in Atlanta in October. So I brought twice as many books this time and I still sold out.
Ooh,
and
nice.
I had such a crowd around my table that the organizers came and taped off a line so that the crowd wouldn't interfere with my neighbors.
Police
apparently
line.
My neighbors had complained. And so
redistribute the crowd.
They were, it was that they were actually like clumping and getting in the way of people looking at other people's tables. Just big clumps of people.
You were interfering with the lack of interstate commerce around you.
Yeah. Although, you know, I really can't credit like the popularity of my book with the crowd. Really what it is that I had a prize wheel. So I learned the secret of capitalism is socialism. And that is if you want to draw people, give away free stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had a prize wheel, and essentially, like, you come, you spin the wheel, you win like some 20 or 40 cent piece of junk that I bought from China. And while you're spinning the wheel, I get to give you my spiel on my book. And it turns out that I make enough selling books to pay for the 20 cents I'm giving away in like zombie erasers or army men or something like that.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I have a huge crowd and sell out of books. So it works for me.
Nice.
Well, people brilliant. Love games at booths. They really do. I did a booth with a friend of mine a couple years ago at this college I used to go to. It was Pin the Tail on the Drone Strike. And I mean, it's kind of much darker there topic, obviously. But people loved it. And we were right across the way from the Progressive Student Alliance, which some other friends of mine do. But yeah, lefty crowd, you know, like lefty stickers and books and stuff like that. And like, they were actually coming over and like checking out. And then we had... A giant Jenga game you could play. It was foreign policy Jenga. So
oh, that's cool. My brother makes giant Jenga sets.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Does he own the patent on that?
No, he just makes it with his own two hands and wood. he experiments with different sizes and shapes and numbers and materials. And
yeah. So you got recognized as a fiend there too, didn't you?
Yeah, so that's the other thing. One of the things on my prize wheel is the buttons, right? And so I give out the Pork Scouts sort of action badges that we brainstormed on the Fiends here, which is cool because it's like a fun little piece of liberty activism. Like somebody spins a wheel and they're like, you win a button. Now here's the key of what all these buttons mean. And they looked on the list and they're all like liberty activism, like Robin Hooding or Lemonade, Freedom Lemonade Standing or Freedom Bookworms or Creamy Radio Audio. Or they're all these liberty things, right? And so I have the Freedom Fiends buttons there too. And four sheep, buy sheep, four sheep, on sheep button gets a lot of questions. They're like, what does this mean?
I think I need to make some new button designs based on the market research at some point of like, there's three that everyone wants and there's two that, you know, people like take the other three and then give away the other two. Keep them.
So there was a guy that I met. I've actually met him at a number of these Walker Stalker cons. He's the husband, or maybe it's boyfriend, I'm not sure what their status is, of Melissa Hutchinson, who plays Clementine in the Walking Dead video game. And he took some of my Freedom Fiend stuff in Atlanta, and he said he looked me up during the interim between Atlanta and San Francisco. And he says, I've been listening to you. I looked you up. I've been listening to you on the Freedom Fiends, and it's pretty cool.
Did he say Fiends?
So he's a regular freedom. I need my coffee.
You do.
Is what that's about. But no, he's a listener now, so I just think that's really cool that, you know, like the Freedom Fiends are getting kind of a shout out and recognition in the zombie community.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I never get recognized, but then again, I get recognized in my house by my wife and my cats, but I don't leave the property much. I'm not afraid of the world. I've been all around it and grown to dislike a lot of it.
Are you just kind of over it?
I'm over people. Yeah. I used to get recognized all the time when I was in a band, and it wasn't just from being in a band. It was like, I was a very gregarious person and out at clubs all the time. I remember our first tour, the first stop, like at a gas station in Washington State. Someone at the gas station is like, Michael Dean? And my drummer goes, no way. But it wasn't even from the band. It was just a guy I'd met and talked to in San Francisco.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I was at Davi's booth. I was at the Bitcoin Not Bombs booth. And Ernie runs up. He gives me a hug. He's like, who are you? And I was like, I'm Megan. I'm like, you know me. And he was like, oh, I thought you'd be taller.
Man, I didn't record all that short guy stuff. I thought you were tall, too.
Everyone thinks I'm taller. Like, I've had this comment like a few times, like, oh, I thought you were taller. And it's like, I don't know how you determine that from like seeing my videos or hearing my voice that I'm a taller person.
Well, because in videos you can, you know, there's objects that people know the size of, like headphones and microphones and cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Although you have a really big cup of coffee, so I think people would think you were smaller. Your Bitcoin coffee cup is huge. Yeah.
That thing is huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I'm okay with it, I guess. I mean, I always wanted to be taller, so. But I'm not going to grow anymore.
Are we going to switch into Cantwell after this? Get it out of the way?
Yeah, I think we're done with Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah, we can get it out of the way. I got some things
You're
to
so
say.
You're so funny. You're like, I don't want to talk about Cantwell. And you, like, kind of really, I think you're going to talk about him a lot. You just don't want there to be talking about him because it perpetuates, and I agree, it perpetuates the whole thing. But he's been lying straight up about us. So
he has been lying.
It.
I'm going
to
address some of that, and I want to address some of that, and really go back to the root of all of this, which I was literally, weren't we joking about this in email? I was like, wouldn't it be funny if he was just butthurt from Porkfest? And then it turns out he actually was, and it's recorded, and he's promoting it.
Well, he also,
like, that's the strangest thing to me. Like,
he admits,
why would
he admits things
that
I would never admit if I had the same problems. Like, I would never say, I would never say,
right.
Like, oh, I have a separate monitor open for my web stats. Like, that's embarrassing.
No, that's, I was just about to say, that's incredibly
but, you know, it's something why I think he might be savable, because he, like, either it's compulsive disclosure and he doesn't have any idea about it, or, you know, he wrote an article one time, like, saying, I have a lot of problems, and he enumerated them, and I was like, I thought that was pretty cool, actually, you know. And they're all problems that I used to have, which
Dude,
is why,
like,
I should be his
to
AA
like
sponsor.
Him. Like, and I sided with him on a lot of his, you know, things for a while there. I mean, I, you know.
Okay, here we go. And we are recording.
It,
here we go. This is the Freedom Fiends, the Libertarian NSA. We bug our own houses. If you go listen later, if you go listen later on the podcast, we've been recording some of our between song chatter, which is probably compulsive disclosure and things that we shouldn't reveal. But we're talking about a guy who does that, and it's Chris Cantwell. And he does do things that are compulsively disclosive. His whole life is kind of compulsive disclosure. And I did want to talk later at some point about how there's this psychological model called King Baby, and he fits all the criteria of King Baby. And it's basically the idea of, and this is mentioned a lot in AA, it's not canonical, you know, it's not in the canon of AA, but it's something that's brought up a lot in meetings. The idea of the King Baby, and it's like all alcoholics have it in spades, but some have it more than others. And his King Baby is, I mean, King Baby is, picture this, it's an adult sitting on a throne that's a toilet, pooping, throwing poop everywhere, and screaming that everyone around him pay attention to him and praise him for being good and doing, you know, and demanding that everyone do his bidding. That's the King Baby model. And I think
that's funny, because I was going to compare him to a two-year-old that doesn't distinguish between positive and negative attention.
Yeah, well, that's one of the King Baby criteria. But MK Lords has a theory that Chris Cantwell is also a social justice warrior. Now, before we get into that, explain what a social justice warrior is for radio listeners who aren't on the internet, because they probably have experienced this and hate it, but they probably might not know the name of it. So what is an SJW, as it's abbreviated?
Yeah, so it's abbreviated SJW, and a social justice warrior, someone who gets extremely offended by words, whether it's insults or jokes. They don't have a very
politically
good sense of humor, very overly politically correct.
I got
and they
told
say
recently
they're fighting
the word
for
victim
social
was
justice.
Off limits.
The word victim is off limits.
The word
because
victim
it victimizes
is
victims.
Because it victimizes victims, exactly. I don't know what you're supposed to use instead of victim, but
survivor.
Yeah, not survive. Is that it? Okay.
Different. Yes.
I'm a survivor of circumstance.
Well, so I kind of vaguely understand this mindset. I came out of this, actually. I came out of a very toxic leftism that incorporated a lot of the social justice warriorship, which is why I'm so outspoken against it. If you read my blog, people understand that, you know, I argue against this stuff quite a lot. I'm not a PC person in any sense of the word. I'm very against politically correct language. So these people get overly offended on behalf of others, usually too. Like, they have a lot of false outrage about things. At least it comes off as false outrage. Like, I'm going to get offended about this topic on behalf of these other people who may not be as offended about it as they are. And that's an important thing to note, you know, when I go into why I think Chris Cantwell kind of fits his category. But yeah, I guess, should I give some background into, you know, why we're talking about this? Because this just kind of randomly happened again. So I was recently on Free Talk Live. I had called in to discuss with Cantwell an article he had written to provoke the response, to provoke an outrageous response. So he said this numerous times publicly that he writes to provoke outrage and to provoke publicity and to promote himself. And so if you're provoking an uncomfortable discussion, then it's something you should respond to when someone calls in taking you up on that offer, correct? I mean, yeah, I think that's pretty basic. When you're writing demanded, stuff to be inflammatory, only, he wants attention
for it. The only direct like contact I've ever had with him was like 3 years ago. I mentioned something about him in passing. It wasn't even critical. Someone told him about it. And, you know, he was like coming on the Fiend site saying, you should have me on your show to debate me. He was doing the Molyneux thing, basically. And we hadn't even said anything bad about him. He just heard we mentioned him, assumed it was incendiary, and like demand, you know, said we should have him on the show. Like he was fishing, you know, this was back before he was so popular, and he was fishing to be on the show because we'd mentioned his name. We'd dare speak his name. So he wanted to be on the show and come address us and defend himself and, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
Right. Right. So he writes this article and I challenge him on Free Talk Live and he gets really triggered by it. Now, triggering is something that when you've been through a traumatic, it's a victim word. This is something that social justice warriors use. When you've gone through a traumatic experience, there are certain things that can trigger you that can put you back into that mindset. And that is very traumatizing. I don't doubt that it's a real thing. I do want to say that I think that you can actually be triggered, but trigger warnings are something that are used on literature now, which no one in their right mind should need a trigger warning for most of, you know, fictional literature that's been written. Like it, people become overly sensitive about
warning,
it.
Warning, this zombie book, so he got triggered by my dead my people.
Right. Or, you know, whatever. So he got triggered by my name and demanded that the hosts of Free Talk Live, Ian and Mark, not say my name for the rest of the show and the callers, too. He got so offended and so freaked out. And he said he would literally debate this topic that we were speaking on with anyone else but me. And then bleeped my name out of the video.
He made a video late. Like, he was acting all hurt and harmed and like, oh, this is too much for me. I have post-traumatic MK syndrome, you know. Like, he would not talk about it on the air, which is kind of amazing. I've never seen him back down from a fight. Basically, a girl beat him up with her words on air. And then he went and, you know, he was all harmed about it, but then he made a video about it, joking about it. He took the video of him on the show doing it, and he beeped it out, your name, 6 or 8 or 10 times, and my name once, and I think the name the Freedom Fiends once, like it was a cuss word. Here's the thing. We have been making that joke on the Freedom Fiends for over 3 years. Nima Vedadi and I used to call him he who cannot be named because we got sick of his name, and if he ever came up with it back when we took calls, We would beep him out. We'd hit the cuss dump. I'd put a beep in it, literally like he did later in the archive of it. We were calling him he who cannot be named and beeping out his name and saying it was a cuss word. He stole my joke. Okay. There's no intellectual property issue here. There are two cardinal sins of comedians of comedy. And he calls himself a comedian. One is joke biting, stealing jokes from other comedians. Read the Wikipedia article on joke stealing. There's a whole page on it. There's references. And it's some of his heroes, like Louis C.K. has had his joke stolen, and it's a big thing. Yeah. And like Dane Cook supposedly stole his jokes, and Dane Cook is like, you know, real comedians hate him because of that. So Cantwell stole my joke. And it says that the name in the Wikipedia article says the name for a joke stealer among comedians is a hack. So he is a hack. Cantwell's a hack. And you said he broke the other rule, cardinal rule of comedy, which is being able to dish it out but not taking it. And apparently he can dish it out but can't take it, man. And then here's the thing. Like, he used to just ignore the Fiends. We'd occasionally mention him. We occasionally mention everybody in Liberty. But it got to the point where, like, he was getting really upset about it. One of his go-to things is, oh, they're nobody. They're only on one station. He's been corrected twice on radio. It's 34 stations. He tries to say, oh, nobody listens to these people. They don't have an audience. You know, he's more popular on the internet. But what I think he's realized is, while he may be more popular on the internet because he, you know, people tune in like they tune into NASCAR to see the car wreck. You know, they're not cheering him on. They're tuning in to see him have a heart attack on video, which is he's going to have sooner or later. But the thing is, man, he's a joke stealer. He's a joke stealer.
I'm not sure it was intended as a joke. I think he just doesn't want to.
I think he actually thinks
he's depriving somebody of something valuable.
Well, then what you do is not mention them. You don't make a video up and put it out. You know why? It's like what happened with you.
You don't talk about them.
Who was the guy who called you a socialist, Davi?
L. Neil Smith. He called me a socialist scum because I did some calligraphy with some words of his.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I remember when that came up, and the same thing's happening when this came up. I mean, that was like, there wasn't even Facebook. I think that was like MySpace. People were talking about it. But, you know, when people talk about this stuff on the social networks, every fifth or sixth comment is someone just coming in and saying, who are you guys talking about? And they say Davi Barker or they say MK Lord. So it's like, it's not like, if you really want it to go away, you ignore it. You don't put it up and censor it. There's this thing called the Streisand effect, which is basically by trying to censor something, you vastly draw attention to it. And the thing I think he's realized is while he may be more popular, you know, his website may get more hits than the Freedom Fiend site. He's not more popular and doesn't have more eyeballs on him on the internet than all 12 of the Freedom Fiends combined. And pretty much most of them have come out publicly against him now as just being a weirdo and an attention seeking king baby.
Yeah, I wrote about the Streisand effect in my latest blog post about this whole thing. I called him Liberty's Lady of Stalingrad because
you also
Stalin
called him King
Midol,
didn't you?
No, I called him King Menzies. King Menzies. Davi came up with King Midol, and I called him King Menzies.
He thinks you're a feminist social justice warrior, and you're basically saying he's a chick on the rag. That is not really a feminist social justice warrior thing
to say. But hey, then I realized that's offensive to the Vagine because...
The what?
Those things can take a pounding.
Those things can take a pounding.
And Chris Cantwell
I thought that was, I get what you mean now. You're talking about anatomy. I thought that was like a social justice warrior word for womankind.
No, Yoni is a social justice warrior for what I'm sure. That's the right term. But no, those things can take a pounding. And this is someone who can't even have a discussion on radio with someone who's really just asking questions. That's all I was doing. And I mean, you know, you should be ready for the discussions you provoke. If you're wanting to provoke them, be ready for, you know, blowback, I guess you could call it, is one thing, you know.
Can you say that on radio? Blowback? I'm sorry.
I guess I just did.
I'm kidding, man. Well, I'm making a stupid joke that didn't land well. All right, go on.
But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, he writes to provoke, and I thought I was doing him a favor by responding to his provocation. And if he's not willing to have that discussion, that's all right if he doesn't want to. But don't try to lie about other people and don't try to, you know, paint them as people that they aren't. So that's what's really the most disappointing. I've exaggerated in my blog posts. I've, you know, used hyperbole, but I don't lie when I talk about
people. He lies,
people.
Though.
Yeah, what's the lie? I want to hear about the lies.
He either lies to himself or he's lying because him... defending our critiques of him and Molyneux's fans defending our critique against our critiques of Molyneux. Both the first thing they always bring up is, oh, you're doing this as link bait. You're trying to get attention with this. I can say uncategorically, I lost more listeners and more money over going after Molyneux than I made. And I'm still going, we're going to go after him more tonight or talk about him more tonight. And the thing with Cantwell, it's net zero because a lot of his fans are our fans. You know, people don't stop listening or start listening to us because of Cantwell. You know, he's just kind of the big 900-pound gorilla in the room that everyone knows exists and occasionally mentions because, you know, he's basically climbing on a tightrope over Liberty with his head on fire and saying, look at me. And then when you look at him, he says, stop looking at me.
But he's also a bully, and that's the thing. He tried to bully people into not saying my name, and he tried to bully a girl who was just asking to be left alone, and I think that's pretty
He's also walked up to women and hit on them, and they've told him to F off, and he's just called him a litany of horrible names. I know at least two women that's happened to. Yeah. Outside of Liberty, he'd get shot. Inside of Liberty... He'd get his butt kicked.
Most places.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
I meant to ask you before we went on air if I could say the V word.
I don't care.
Know, so I just euphemized it, but okay. I figured it was anatomy, so I could say it, but
let me stop recording for a minute and comment to that. I've changed my mind. That was something I couldn't say on air. It was not about Cantwell. It was about the radio industry. I don't want that on record, but apparently it was comedy. The truth is funny. No one will ever know. Yeah. So we have a secret now. We've never had a secret, the three of us.
Oh.
Three can keep a secret if two of them are dead. That's not a threat.
It was a 5-second Bohemian Grove.
It was.
Oh, there we go.
No, what do we call it? What's the real thing? What's the real thing called? Ours is Bavarian Gulch, man.
Oh, Bavarian Gulch. That's right.
Bavarian Gulch. Oh my God.
That's the thing Davy and Ben Stone and I have, but you've just been initiated. Did you enjoy the owl blood? Did you enjoy the owl blood smoothie?
So you guys let girls in?
I guess.
Yeah, we let girls in. They just can't golf.
They can't golf.
Well, I don't like golf anyway. This is Tim
Austin. Okay, I sent you guys the King Baby thing. Let's
That's exactly like every alcoholic I've ever known. Oh my God.
What, Davy?
That list.
I had somebody tell me that golf stood for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
Huh.
There's apparently some controversy about some golfing organization that like doesn't allow women to compete. I don't know what the story about
well,
it is.
Well, isn't golf for men that don't like their choice of life partner, so they want to get away from them?
Maybe.
I think that's what a lot of men's hobbies are. I don't like to do anything that
boring.
I don't take my wife with me. Like, she can't go to Pork Fest this year because she's spending the time to go see her parents. I'm not going to that. I could go to Pork Fest, but I don't want to go without her.
Groovy.
Yeah, me and Joe, we have kind of different interests, so we'll kind of travel on our own sometimes, but we prefer to do things together. So.
I shouldn't go to Pork Fest myself anyway because I'm kind of like catnip to ladies.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does catnip have an effect on ladies? I'm unaware of.
Yes, I'm like catnip to ladies. I have no effects.
So it has no effect.
That's funny. You know, I heard a thing for the Molyneux discussion. I heard something about people who call themselves philosophers. It's calling yourself a philosopher is like calling or being a philosopher is like being good in bed. If you have to tell people you are, you probably aren't.
You probably aren't. Yeah, yeah. I've heard that one. That's perfect.
I didn't say I was good in bed or that I would sleep with anybody. I just like women will bother me if I'm alone. That's it. I don't like to be bothered. Yeah.
Women can be really annoying.
Yeah.
When they bother you.
I had a weird one. This is not for this. Well, I guess we're recording.
No, I like women.
Probably isn't
I like
for
women.
I had a girl come up to me at Walker Stalker Con, and I knew her from college, but she introduced me to her friend as, oh, yeah, we dated in college. And I was like, I have no memory of this whatsoever.
I've had that happen. That would be a weird.
I remember hanging out with her. I remember, like, I just don't.
Well,
I don't
maybe
think we ever,
maybe that's dating to her.
But we never had any kind of thing. I'm aware.
Maybe
of.
Maybe you didn't test the durability of her vagine.
She was stalking Davy, and he didn't know.
I know. Did you test the durability of her vagine?
So I was living. I was living in a kind of socialist commune at the time, and she used to come by the house all the time with like a hookah, and everybody kind of dug her having this hookah around. And we never like left the house or anything. We never did anything physical or anything. I don't know.
Okay, so
I found it very weird. I let her have it though. Like I didn't correct her. I'd be
weird.
Like, "We never dated. What are you talking about?"
That would be so messed up. The way to like. So there was this chick that I went to high school with. I ran into like years after at a show, and that. Actually had dated my friend but acted like she didn't know him and was like a total like stealth bitch about it, like just really like whoa, it was bizarre. It was really bizarre. But I ran into an ex-boyfriend in
5 seconds
work
guy.
Freedom Fiends. So we're trying an experiment tonight. We're connecting on the Fiend phone. As that's not an experiment. We always do that. But we tried turning the buffer target from the default of 100 milliseconds down to 50 milliseconds on all of our Fiend phones, on all of our iterations that show up in there for each person. And so far, I think I've heard one drop out, but that's, I mean, you hear that with Skype in an hour. So I think we may be changing the default to 50 milliseconds on the next rollout of this, if we could do this a few more shows and it works, because that gives less latency between the people. And then it's just up to mind latency, how long it takes you to respond. So let's test MK's, the durability of MK's mind latency. Tell us about Porkfest and why Chris Cantwell's a social justice warrior.
Okay, so I had kind of joked about this before, but a couple years at Porkfest 2013, there was this contest called Porkfest Idol, where you got up and you did a rant within a certain time period, and a bunch of people performed, and it was really good, and me and Chris Cantwell were some of the finalists. There were four finalists, and I definitely thought I was going to lose this, by the way, but my work was basically a spoken word piece that I had memorized, and his was this, he had it all written on a piece of paper, and it was a series of
cheater
jokes. And so we were in the finals with two other people, and then we had a 1 minute rant off, and we had to make up something. We had to improv something. So he did his improv, which was like this rap, and then I did my improv. I ended up winning the contest kind of unexpectedly, I would say, to myself and to other people there. And
Wait. I think there was some social justice going on here. Are you saying that the fat white guy didn't win the rap contest?
Well, it wasn't a rap contest. It was a rant off.
That's racist.
But yeah, so it was kind of weird. People. So like, you know, it was cool. I won a lifetime free membership to Porkfest, and I went to shake his hand afterwards, and he wouldn't shake my hand. And I was just like, whatever, at the time, you know, like sore loser. So yeah. I joked that like this whole feud that I guess we kind of have stems from that. Well, he actually admitted to it on his Some Garbage podcast. That's the name of the podcast, about 30 minutes into his last one. And he went on this like rant for like he talked about it for 30 minutes about how upset he was and how libertarians are sexist because they believe in the soft bigotry of sexism, of low expectations with women. And the only reason I won Porkfest Idol, which is this very silly contest that like, you know, it's a group of libertarians getting together, you know, camping.
Drunk.
I mean, it's not a huge thing. And but he was actually butthurt about it.
Wait, so he
did
this recently?
Years.
He ranted about this? This is not something he ranted about like right after it happened. This
yeah,
is like,
no,
recently.
This is
tell
like
you
this
where
weekend,
MK Lords
dude.
Touched me.
Yeah, well,
this weekend.
You gotta remember this guy.
So, and he said it was because of sexism. And this is why I think he's a social justice warrior, because social justice warriors always say that the reason they don't succeed or that they're not good enough or that they lose at whatever it is because institutionalized sexism. So he's saying that sexism is the reason that he lost. When you can watch the videos, they're all out on YouTube. I mean, I think I clearly won. It was very obvious.
I can say impartially that you won because I barely knew you at the time and I was blown away.
Yeah, Davi.
And
what
you didn't,
I didn't know
him either. You didn't have an opinion of him yet either.
No, I had a positive opinion of him at the time. I had just recently become impressed with him at the time. And
so did I
thought that he had won hands down, and I thought that Megan or MK was not going to... I thought she was going to lose in the second round because I thought she was like a one-hit wonder. She prepared something, and now she was unprepared. And she blew me away when I didn't know her.
Yeah.
So I think she won hands down, and
well,
I didn't expect her to.
The thing you got to remember, like, okay, this guy getting incredibly butthurt and talking for a half hour on an appropriately named Some Garbage podcast. And I say that not because of the content, but because the audio is horrible. And he could ask his friend Ian Freeman, who he sees every day almost, or you know, at least once a week, like, hey, come over and give me 5 minutes of tips on how to arrange these microphones and sound better. But he'd never do it. And the other thing is, he's always begging for money, and he has a $700 table. That's a Broadcast Supply Worldwide table that he bought. You know, well, I need money for my empire. He bought that with donations, and then I make a lot more money. I have a $25 table, man, and it's not covered with beer cans and stains. That guy can't have nice things. I will say that.
He was projecting.
And you know, his Twitter handle is Vote for Cantwell, and he used to run for office. Like, the guy wants to be a politician. It's not surprising to me that he gets incredibly butthurt about losing, losing a contest for children. We'll be back talking about the King Baby Syndrome in hour two and how it applies to Cantwell and also Molyneux. And then we'll segue into Molyneux. Because you don't want to do all Cantwell all the time, apparently.
No.
I want to play the whole clips and comment them on, but you don't want to.
No.
All right. In hour two, King Baby. Worms.
Shiny badges. badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The funniest thing that he said in this garbage podcast thing was that I had peaked at Porkfest Idol and that it was like all downhill from my life.
I'd never heard of you back then, and I started hearing about you about a year ago a lot. I don't think he'd peaked.
Like, he said that I'm never going to get any better with my... Have you guys ever seen the movie Walk Hard?
Yeah, I love the movie Walk Hard.
We did a whole episode on it.
Yeah.
You did? That's like one of my favorite movies. Remember Edith? How she was like, you're never going to make it,
Dewey? Yeah, the wife. Yeah.
That's Chris Cantwell in this episode.
No, it isn't, because that means he's your wife.
Well, no, except for the wife part. But no, he's saying, like, I'm never going to make it. That's as good as I'm ever going to get. My writing is crappy, and I've peaked, basically.
Yeah.
And I just had to address it, because it's so hilarious.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Talk it's Hard. Projection. What's the show with Talk Hard, Michael?
Walk Hard is the country music biopic comedy.
Yes.
Right. But
the Dewey Cox story.
Talk Hard is the one about the high school radio host kid. Do you remember
that's called Pirate Radio or something.
Yeah, I know, but the line Talk Hard is like one of the slogans in the movie.
Hard talking, anyway, I've seen Hard on Harry. Hard on Harry is the character's name, but yeah, I think he does say Talk Hard.
I just mean
Hard.
We haven't done an episode on Walk Hard. We did an episode.
Well, apparently
on...
we should, and we should have Megan
we
do it.
We should How about, do an
You
want to
come on tomorrow?
Man, I'm really tempted to.
You busy? Or you gotta
have
get
you
up for
have
work?
You guys both seen Walk Hard?
You gotta get up for your day job.
We
you
could do it right now.
You gotta
I don't
get
know
up
why
for
we're
your day.
You
gotta get up for your day job because you're not a libertarian welfare queen.
Well, and I got like possibly three workshops I want to go to this week, hooping stuff. But
I don't know what
that
is.
This is tempting. I love Walk Hard.
We could do some Walk Hard this show, but.
Well, I don't want to cut into the scheduled programming, so we don't have to.
Okay. Well, maybe I should go watch it again before we do a whole show on it.
It deserves a whole show. Dude, it deserves a whole
show. The music in it's wonderful. The music, it's kind of like, it's like Spinal Tap in that the music in it is better than the music it's parodying often.
It is. Well, you know, John C. Reilly wrote a lot of those songs,
too. I used to see him at a coffee shop in San Francisco. He lived in Echo Park. Yeah, it's a coffee shop called The Downbeat on Sunset and Alvarado.
He's so talented, like dancing, singing, like everything. I mean, he's even in Chicago. Like, I loved him in Chicago. I mean, dude's way underrated.
Yeah, it's because he's funny looking that he's not bigger of a star.
They really played that up.
It's the patriarchy.
In the Dewey Cox story, it's the patriarchy. It's the matriarchy holding him down. He's got to be talented and funny.
It's the patriarchy. I killed the wrong son. I killed the wrong boy.
The wrong son died.
The wrong boy died. He didn't kill him, yeah. Wrong son died. Wrong boy died.
Wrong son died. Oh, my God.
Your mama fell out the window.
Bad, Dewey.
Your song came on the air, and your mama fell out the window dancing and died. Your music kills people.
What about my dreams, Dewey?
My favorite part of that whole movie.
You can't have a candy house, Edith.
My favorite part of that movie is where he invents punk rock. He's like,
yes,
really angry. He's really angry, and then he does cocaine, and he's like, faster, harder. And they're like, no one's going to want to listen to this music. You're playing fast and yelling like some kind of punk.
Punk, yes.
And, you know, he basically invents cow punk. I mean, he sounds like that band Blood on the Saddle. You ever heard them?
No, I haven't, but I know the kind of style you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he invents punk. Oh, my God.
I love that version of that song, man. I put that on repeat sometimes on my Walkman, on my iPod. I'm old. On my Walkman. Will Fiend Phone work on my Walkman? Yeah.
Dude, everyone should watch Walk Hard immediately. Especially if you like biopics, which I did. Like, I had seen all the biopics that it was making fun of.
Yeah, I had too.
So
had
if you've
two.
Seen all those, like, it's even funnier.
Yep.
They nailed it.
I also like the one where he does the acoustic show, and it's black and white, like the Pennebaker film, and he's like sounding like Bob Dylan. The lyrics in that song are very funny. The brass monkey. Something about monkeys. I don't know.
It's really deep, man. You guys are idiots.
Oh, and then when he turns into Brian Johnson, and is it Brian? Now, who's the guy from the...
Brian Wilson yeah. from Beach Boys.
Yeah.
He's on the trampoline and stuff.
Yeah. Conducting like 20 orchestras at once. That basically happened.
Yes. With Brian. We need 20,000 didgeridoos.
Yeah, man. That movie's
I
kind of
memorized
amazing.
That movie because I'm a weirdo. I've watched it so many.
It is one of my favorite movies. I own it on DVD. I own like 6 movies on DVD, and I directed 3 of them, and I own that movie on DVD.
I do too. I barely have any DVDs, and I've got that one still. Oh, I love it.
Marijuana? What's it like? Is it addictive? I don't want to spend all my money on it. It's the cheapest drug there is. It has no side effects. It's not habit forming. It just makes you happy.
The one about cocaine, it's like, it turns all your bad feelings into good feelings.
I want that. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically a combination of it's the Johnny Cash story. It's...
Ray Charles,
it's
Elvis.
It's not the Big Bopper. What's the other guy?
The guy who wrote
La Bamba. Yeah, it's Buddy Holly and the guy.
No, Richie Valens.
It's both of them. Yeah. It's got aspects of both of them. It's Brian Wilson, it's Bob Dylan. It's a lot of Johnny Cash, though. He even looks like Johnny Cash when he's retired on his farm.
He does. Yeah,
I saw Johnny Cash.
Kids.
It was great. So Johnny Cash at Great American Music Hall in San Francisco. Paid $75 a ticket. It was worth it. It was right like 2 years before he died.
That would be worth it.
I went and saw him because I figured he was going to die. Like he was getting old and not in great health. You know, he got sober. Like, I can't say it, but he got sober, probably 10 or 12 years before he died.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that cover he does of Dirt by Nine Inch Nails. That was right before he died.
Hurt, yeah.
Or Hurt, mm-hmm. not Dirt. Dirt is Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I loved Hurt. And then Cut You Down, or what was the other one? It was like God's Gonna Cut You Down or something. Stuff, how it was always kind of dark, like the dark kind of country sound. I don't like a whole lot of country, but I like Johnny Cash.
He takes the cuss word out of Hurt, too. I kind of like that. Like nobody else could do that and have me like it.
Yeah.
What cuss word did he take out?
I wear this crown of I can't say it because we might go out on air, but he changed it to crown of dirt.
Yeah.
Or crown of thorns. Crown of dirt, I think. Yeah, man. I've wept watching that video. I've also wept listening. I've wept listening to the song Walk Hard, and also the song that's at the end. I haven't wept listening. I've wept listening to the song that they play at, like, where they have the big honoring ceremony for him, and he sings that whole song about his life story. And Ghostface Killah has a rap in it. All right, here we go.
Yes.
He has a rap in it. All right, King Baby. Pull up the King Baby page, please. Turn to page 26 in your King Baby article. This is Freedom Fiends. We're talking about something called King Baby Syndrome. I am Michael W. Dean. I used to be a King Baby, but I have overcome that. I don't have to do that anymore, to quote Johnny Cash in the AA book. His song, Like a Soldier Coming Home from the War, which is about getting sober, Johnny Cash's song, it contains the line, I don't have to do that anymore, which is an AA and NA line. I think it's actually an NA line. But so there's this thing called King Baby, and I'm talking with some definitely non-King Babies, MK Lords and Davi Barker. What's your initials, Davi? What are you going by tonight?
D.W. Barker.
D.W. Barker. All right. I like it. You know, W,
I don't know why,
is my middle initial. But... I've always called myself Michael W. Dean. Not because, it sounds fancy. It's because there are like 6 other published writers named Michael Dean. So I didn't want to be confused with them. So I used the W. And it was a really cool middle initial for a while until George Bush ruined it. But now I'm making it cool again. He's gone. So
you taking back W?
This is not taking back the W. So this is one time we were tripping on LSD in San Francisco, and we decided to skateboard from the Mission District to the ocean in the middle of the night. And we skated and came up below the other side of the hill from the Castro, up from the park that I forget the name of the neighborhood, Glen something, but there's a railroad tunnel that goes through. It actually starts at the Safeway, 15th and Du Bois, near Market, and there's a tunnel that goes like a mile through this hill, and we didn't want to go over the hill, so we walked through the railroad tunnel. And when we got out, we were drinking beer and laughing, and we had skateboards, and we were clinking them together, about six or eight of us. It was like five guys and a woman, this woman I was dating, named Squash, if she's listening, and who is someone who came up to me years later in a bar, and I didn't recognize her, and I'm like, she's like, Michael, don't you know me? And I'm like, I don't know, did I sleep with you? And she's like, duh. But so we were walking through this railroad tunnel, and when we got to the other side, there were like five cops there because people heard us yelling in the tunnel and called the cops. And we got out, and I was just like, I was peeking. I was tripping, you know, spherical objects. And this cop said to me, and this is back when I did drugs. I don't have to do that anymore. But this cop, the lady cop said to me, what are you guys doing in this tunnel? And I said, oh, we're part of this organization called Skate Back the Night. And I just made it up on the spot. And like, we're an anti-rape.
I've done that.
We're an anti-rape organization. We go through bad neighborhoods and skateboard and scare away rapists. And she said, well, you have three choices. You can go home, you can go to jail, or you can go deep into the park. So we went deep into Golden Gate Park and skated to the ocean and got there as the sun was coming up.
That's some real social justice.
I used to, right, so we did this too. There was a night where I was on a lot of drugs, and I don't have to do that anymore.
Thank
but
you.
This was in college. And we spent like a long evening, like essentially like cutting popular news and pornography together so that the pictures didn't match the headlines, and then Xeroxing it at Kinko's and taping it up all over town. And we got stopped by the police, and we said we were an anti-graffiti organization and that we were encouraging artists to tape up their art with removable tape so they weren't vandalizing property.
Nice. Nice. So did that crew of people think that under Marx's labor theory of value, you should get paid for the amount of time you spent making that air quote, I'm doing air quotes, art?
No, what we did to get paid was we set up in front of Borders Books with a gorilla book signing, and we said that we would sign any book, any name they wanted for a dollar.
By any. We'd sign it like a gorilla. That's the other gorilla. All right, so we're getting into the overcoming the entitlement of the King Baby Syndrome, and let's read this article. Let's read. Okay. Psychotherapist Christopher Byrne explains King Babies, the quest for maturity. I think you should sign that book from him to Chris Cantwell, that the syndrome relates to emotional development delays stemming from abuse. Cantwell has said he's had abuse. Molyneux has said they've had abuse. I'm not making fun of them, but, you know, I'm trying to explain this to people why.
Do you think Molyneux's a king baby too?
Absolutely. And that's why we're going to use this to segue from Cantwell into King Molyneux. What'd you call him?
Stewie Griffith is definitely a king baby.
Yeah,
he's
there
a baby.
If you want a picture of the king baby, think of Stewie Griffin. Okay, so it can stem from emotional developmental delays from abuse, trauma, or early drug use. I think Cantwell had all those. Fear of loss of control is a hallmark, thus creating attitudes and actions that can become ingrained patterns over time. King Baby Syndrome is characterized by, and do you guys want to take turns reading this list?
Sure, I'll go first.
And I'll just say check if I think that Cantwell and Molyneux have these things.
So, number one, belief that their needs come first and foremost without concern for others.
Check, check.
Having blinders on when it comes to the perspectives of others.
Check,
big
check.
Check.
Yeah.
My way or the highway attitude.
Absolutely. Double check.
Extreme arrogance.
Check, check.
These kind of sound redundant, but
they're kind of different flavors of the same thing. I think that the reason that lists like this often have things that seem redundant is so you can recognize them. And there are subtle differences. Yeah. You know, there's a subtle difference in
it's
my way.
Yeah, it's like covering all the bases, right?
You could have you could have extreme arrogance without having my way or the highway. Like my way or the highway is you imposing extreme arrogance on other people, but you could be extremely arrogant and never impose it on other people. So there are subtle differences in this.
Like you could just go along with the other person's way grudgingly. Yeah.
The next one should be Chris Cantwell's like tagline at the top of his blog.
Dependency, but wanting to appear fiercely independent.
Yeah. One I want to skip down to because I think there's a really I mean, flawless example of this in that podcast I was mentioning, expressions of superiority that mask insecurity. And this was when he was talking, he basically said about the Porkfest Idol thing that I had peaked and that, like, I'm not going to get any better in my writing or speaking, and that was my peak and it's all downhill from here. And that's a form of projection, if you're feeling inadequate in what you're doing in your life. And that's really, you hear it really coming out, this, oh, I'm so much better than this girl, I'm just going to kind of, you know, pick on her. But it was really an insecure thing, because obviously he's just upset.
You know why we upset him?
Silly contest.
Yeah. You know why we upset him is because everything the Fiends have ever said about him has been said laughing and kind of with a little bit of love. Like, I'm still going to open my extension to the offer to him of, I think I would be the AA sponsor for you. If you ever want to get sober, Chris, drop me an email and we can talk. You'll probably have to, I'll probably have to get another cell phone for it so I can throw it away when he becomes insane. But if he's really interested in not being insane and wants to become, you know, happier and healthier, the guy's a good writer and could be an amazing, I won't even just say like, you know, like thing for liberty. He could be an amazing thing to the world and really make a name for himself. And he's never going to do it being petty and being angry all the time. And the thing that bothers him the most, I think, about the Fiends is that we're always laughing. We never really get like, that guy, like he does about everyone else that criticizes him. He hates a happy dance, man. And we're just always doing a happy dance while we're talking about him.
I was happy dancing on Free Talk Live so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was laughing.
Yep, so. You won, man.
You gotta laugh. You know, you can't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's that we don't give up power.
Ah, because when you get angry, you give up power.
Yeah, we don't engage in that kind of like if he's going to troll, we're going to lose control, and that doesn't happen with us.
Yeah.
But, you know, another great example of this expression of superiority that masks insecurity is the admission that he sits around and watches his web
stats.
Traffic in real time. Like, that exactly. is so That's fundamentally an act of insecurity.
Yeah.
But he said it as if it was like to boast about how serious he was about his work or something.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I seriously considered this week, you know, when the website was kind of, the WordPress wasn't working, but the host still was. And I made the one page website where like you could never make a comment, you know, there'd be no feedback. You'd be like, get the site, subscribe here once and go away and listen to it. That's so antithetical to like his thing of driving traffic to his site, you know, and I'm just kind of, I don't really like dealing with people. Actually, at the bottom of that page, it said, if you really need to contact me, I'm pretty proud of this. It was kind of a joke, but I was totally serious about it. If you really need to contact me, post the complete story and your email address to me as a message on Twitter in one post, and I'll get back to you if I feel like it. Like, basically, like, I'm sick of reading too long, didn't read. You know, I'm basically saying, if you can tell me why I should talk to you and give me your email address in 164 characters, I'll consider it. You know, I'm not dependent on feedback from others. I'm pretty much the opposite of that. I try to get away from it, man.
Yeah. You know, on the subject of everything being said in love, there's still a part of me that holds out the hope that he is some sort of elaborate fictional Andy Kaufman
He's
type
not.
Character.
He's not.
I know, but you know, I am holding that like 10%.
I've heard that as an excuse
until I meet him in person. And
I've
have
heard
a
that
chance
as
to,
an
like,
excuse
meet him in person.
From people that are close friends to me and close friends to him that like see him every day. I've heard the it's a character excuse, but is that the excuse when he walks up to some woman and says, "Hey, baby, let's do it." And they say like
no,
F off
not.
And he calls them, you know, a fat whore and all sorts of horrible names. That's not a character, man. That's a griefer and a troll and a petty man who can't deal with women. So he hates them. You know, the thing about all of the stuff
that's
coming,
some very hateful things about women.
The thing about all the stuff that's coming out that's hateful about feminism recently is I don't really distinguish of like feminist socialism from any of the other socialism. Like I don't have a special agenda about that flavor of it. It's just all people trying to use the state to me. And it would never inspire me to write even one whole article about it. Let alone, you know, like become a MRN. You know, there's all these, I'm not even up on all this stuff. Like all these acronyms, like men MRM. When I first saw that, I had to ask Jim Jesus. He said it's men's rights movement. When I first saw SJ,
it's being men together,
SJW,
right?
SJW, yeah,
together,
yeah, the testicular cancer for men who've lost one of their balls in Fight Club,
or both,
you know, yeah. Or Marla Steven, although Marla said she had more right to be there than Jack did. Technically, she did. All right, let's read more of the King
Baby
list. Well,
you guys know how oppressed men are.
Let's get through the King
Baby
list.
So the next one is the acquisition of money and possessions to prove worth.
That's, I don't know. Molyneux does that. Molyneux demands.
So? I have no idea.
If anybody who would yell at a starving college student for only sending him $2 is measuring his money by worth. All the rants that Molyneux did about that were like he said, like, you know, if I'm not worth it, he almost said, you know, you're stealing if you don't pay me money. But he
put a monetary value on his site.
Yeah.
Yeah. He say it costs like $10,000 to run his site or something?
It doesn't.
Well, that's
what it's funny because
that's in print somewhere.
So as far as the words are concerned, this definitely sounds like Molyneux because he says, like, if this is really worth something to you, then you should send me money. But like the way that I read this is more like the guy who buys a fancy sports car so he can show off that he's worth something.
I would say so far
this
is the one that Chris Cantwell does not have on this list. He's kind of the opposite. He's kind of like, I'm poor, man. I deserve it. Or not, I deserve it. But like, you know, I think he's
unless
kind of
poverty is a possession.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe
there
possible.
You go. Yeah. Worms. We'll be back with the King Baby Report.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Don't worry, she won't remember.
If we're editing the breaks, I kind of want to take out the bit about the girl that I may or may not have dated.
I can't go back and find that. Find him easily. You have to say, cut that, and then I'll make a note.
Okay, yeah, no problem. It's not a big deal. Like, it's not, doesn't matter one way or the other to me, but I just hate to be that girl and hear it.
She'll never hear it. Okay. I think she was lying. I don't think she slept with you. I think she thinks that hanging out was dating.
No, we definitely didn't sleep together. But she didn't say that to her friend. She said we dated.
Well,
so I don't know
if she determined you dated and you'd never agreed to that, she's putting you in a social contract, and that's no problem for you to complain.
I don't know.
That's where she probably just had a crush on you or something.
Well, that was definitely the case because I remember being uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
One of my ex-girlfriends was the only attendee at my wife and my wedding, and she was also our witness and our photographer.
That's cool.
Yep. You have to bring your own witness when you get married at court in LA, at the courthouse. I think that's everywhere.
Yeah. So are we going to move on to Molyneux?
No, we're going to continue with this list and then segue into Molyneux with his formation of corporations.
See, here's what I'm kind of wondering to myself. Like, so I'm signed up for the Free State Project, right? And so if I move to New Hampshire, and Chris Cantwell becomes my literal neighbor, do I think he's a good neighbor?
What's her name lived with him? Josie Wales lived with him, and she says he was a horrible roommate.
Well, that's fine. I mean good neighbor in the, like, not going to advocate aggression against me sense. Like, I don't mean, like...
Unless you're drunk and you try to take his paper clips. Oh, we didn't say that we're calling this Operation Paperclip.
But he might actually be a bad neighbor. Like, if he had treated me the way that he treated these women you talk about, like, if he was just obnoxious and, like, maybe not in an actual aggression way, but just in a constant nuisance way, that is a bad neighbor.
Well, so who knows, but anybody who constantly needs other people to know they exist will probably make a bad neighbor. You know, like, if his web stats are down and he comes out and you're watering your lawn and he tries to tell you his ideas and you're like, oh, I'm busy, man. He might get I don't know. I have no idea, man. Although, I wouldn't live next door to him because he's really unsafe with firearms. That's a good reason not to live next door to him.
Yeah, that's another good reason.
He says he's not. He has excuses for that. And there's video proof, man, of more than one occasion.
Or whatever other things he might do to get the cops called on him. Like anybody who wants to draw the cops attention.
Anybody who wants to, you know, talks
cops
about.
Cops get addresses wrong often enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It sounds like he wants to die in a you know, it sounds like at times he's wanted to die in a firefight with the police. And you don't want to be next door to that, do you? And we're back. I'm not even going to try to do that rhythm because there's a delay when it gets back out on air. I could do it at home. Don't try this at home. All right, this is Freedom Fiends, MK Lords, and Davi Barker, and I, Michael W. Dean, talking about King Baby Syndrome. And we're going to segue at the end of this out of Operation Paperclip, which is what we're calling the Chris Cantwell Project, named after the United States military operation to seduce Nazi scientists into the Cold War science effort after World War II. It was called Operation Paperclip. I actually know a guy who was scooped over here from Czechoslovakia, as it was called then, in Operation Paperclip. And he's basically the guy who co-invented the integrated circuit and got paid a dollar for it. But that's a whole different story. And that was in America. So we called this Operation Paperclip because Chris Cantwell, among other gems, has said that it's ethical to shoot somebody, not just in self-defense of your life, but in your property. And it would be all the way down ethical to shoot someone for stealing a paperclip. So whenever we make memes of him, we tend to put paperclips in the picture. Like we made that one of him when his website went down for a day because he forgot to pay the registration. And Davi doesn't like to take credit for memes. I do. I'll pull him into this. I had Davi make one, and it was that it was Homer Simpson when he becomes obese and he's trying to hit a computer key with a broomstick because he can't get off the couch. And we called it Chris Cantwell trying to renew his domain registration. And the touch I really liked that you put in that was your idea was you put a framed photo, like a picture, a painting on the wall of a paperclip, like glowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like that's what matters to him.
It's very important. It's apparently. It's life, the universe, and everything.
So we're going to segue go ahead, MK.
I was just about to say, like, I think it's hilarious, and I would love it if someone made, like, memes and cartoons of me. Like, someone made, like, a little Bitcoin superhero of me that I use on Twitter. But even if it was, like, to make fun of me, I would love that. Like, I find that stuff hilarious. Like, I love, you know, that kind of self-deprecating humor. And I think any good comic has a good, you know, vein of that in them, being able to laugh at themselves. So
Crazy Rich does that all the time with the Fiends. There probably are ones of you haven't seen.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Make fun of me. There's nothing that someone can say about me that hasn't, you know, been said worse, you know, by me or...
My thing about that kind of stuff is kind of like, I'm not offended by it. Even if it's mean, but I'm kind of like, whether it's mean or whether it's praising, like, it's not really of me. And I'm kind of like too busy to look at it. People send me that stuff and I'm like, okay, great. But I'm trying to deal with this other thing that's more important in the 40 emails I have when I wake up in the morning, you know, like I don't look at it like spam, but I look at it about like six levels above spam and well below like somebody sending me a $2 donation. You know, that's cooler to me.
I love $2 donations.
I do. I've gotten a few of them lately, and I can never tell if they're insults or intent. Like, you know, because there's this joke of we made fun of Molyneux for complaining twice about a $1 or $2 donation, but I like them. I will account for them and dig it, but I don't know. But they're sent anonymously by Bitcoin, so I don't know who they're from. And thank you, though.
I sent a bunch to Jim Jesus today.
Yeah. Yeah, he liked somebody. The first time he started doing getting money for Cards Against Humanity, somebody sent him like $26, like 13 $2 donations in a row. It's pretty funny.
Yes.
All right. So what are the rest of the symptoms of King Baby Syndrome? And then we'll talk about Molyneux, the anti-corporate guy starting a corporation.
Well, the next one is the need for continual validation, which goes back to that constantly watching his web traffic thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. He said he actually has a dedicated monitor for this. Now, I have two monitors on one computer, but I use them for, you know, increasing productivity, not decreasing productivity by fapping to, oh, my, someone just looked at me in Cyprus, you know.
He ought to convince all of his fans to contribute to the development of a Chris Cantwell traffic watching
app
for his phone.
Yeah.
So he can give him little alerts and say it's up or down 10%.
And it could have a special button to like signal him if the Fiends are talking about him so he can tune in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't fap to myself. It's too meta.
I used to have a line in a song that was the chorus over and over and over was "The girl that I miss is just me in a dress." All right,
that makes my brain hurt a little.
that belongs somewhere. That belongs somewhere. That belongs somewhere on this King Baby list. But I've changed, man. I mean, there was actually a poster for my band Bomb that was the Ouroboros. Is that how you say it? The snake eating its own head.
The Ouroboros.
Yeah.
But it was me on stage, and the snake was my member, and it was eating my head, and I had a knife in one hand, and I was in a spotlight, and it was my drummer designed it and had this other guy draw it, and I loved it, and I didn't recognize it was me until one day I was lying in bed, had just finished doing that, and looked up, and I'm like looking at this poster on the wall like 3 years later, and I'm like, God damn, that's me. All right, we'll be back.
Worms?
More King Baby.
Worms.
A worm.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
I just love the ways about work fapping onto the radio.
I think old people don't know what it means.
Right.
If you don't say it like, I was fapping, dude. Like, if you just kind of say it in passing, they probably think it means, like, you know, drinking, like, iced tea with Skittles in it.
Those kids are doing these days.
Just drinking iced tea with Skittles in it.
Their smartphones and their Wiis.
Yeah. Their Wiis. Cartman faps.
Fapping all over the place.
All right.
So yeah, in the Illuminatus trilogy, when George is initiated into the Secret Order, he's escorted by a beautiful woman into a room with a pyramid of stairs and a golden apple at the top, and instructed to put his member inside the apple, where he discovers that the woman is inside the apple, and he's actually, allegedly, having sex with this woman, although he can't really tell, but he's having sex with something. And then at the moment of climax, a vision of himself hanging at the end of a noose, like, falls out of the ceiling. And it's meant to, like, confront him with the reality that orgasms only exist because of death. Like, a species does not require procreation except that it dies. So it's very weird. That's what you made me think of, Michael, when you said you realized that the poster was you. I was like, oh, so Michael accidentally initiated himself into the Discordian order.
I'm looking for it. I can't remember like what album it was on or if it was we had a poster of it, but
I think this is one of my favorite episodes so far.
Tomorrow night could be this good, Megan.
I know. You know what? I might be able to. If I leave work early enough and take a nap tomorrow.
Well, you could either show up or not. Just drop us an email, you know, an hour or two before the show. Or, you know, half hour before the show. I don't think Davi has a problem with that.
With what now?
With her showing up or not tomorrow at the last minute.
No, that's fine. Whatever.
I gotta go pee-pee kitty.
Have fun. Oh, man.
That's a very weird book. Have you ever come across the Discordians or the Illuminatus trilogy?
Yes. Yes. I haven't read it all the way through, but I've read, like, excerpts and stuff. Yeah.
You know what's weird about the whole thing is I read the Illuminatus trilogy while I was a Marxist and considered it at the time a Marxist manifesto of sorts. Like, I thought at the time that Robert Anton Wilson was a kind of socialist. And like 10 years later, I've got the audiobook, I've been listening to it, and he's just straight up voluntarist anarchist. Like, he even says, like his characters are like they're capitalists in the book. And they said, if you had any idea what real capitalism is, you would throw off all this Marxist trash. And I'm like, I read that as a Marxist and didn't get it. Like what was going on? It's so weird, like, how different the book is depending on, like, what kind of lens you're looking at it through.
Yeah.
I feel like Heinlein's like that too. Like, it could
a lot of neocons like Heinlein because he's pro-military, but it's like pro-private military and weird libpair kind of situations.
And like, what about all?
But
the
then he's
orgies?
Got like the polyamory
the neocons
side.
Get on. Right.
So like the leftists could definitely, like that would be appealing to them.
And
you know,
line marriages.
Yeah, the orgies.
It's like the cops show up and the guy's like, "Get my professional witness and my gun."
Yeah. Right.
What Heinlein book is that in?
That's Stranger in a Strange Land.
I read that. I don't remember that. But I was not a
That's
gun person then.
The
I probably blotted the gun stuff out. I remember the orgies.
There's
okay,
orgies
I read that book. I read that book in the hospital they take him to. Well, across, like part of the same complex, the Naval Hospital thing. I was at NIM, National Institute of Health, doing paid drugs.
Oh, that's where they injected the rats with all the brain expanding.
Yeah, I was being paid to do drug research when I was homeless. I went there for a week and read that book that takes place in there while I was there.
Nice. Wow. Super meta.
It is. It was.
The book, The Rats Michael. Of NIM, is way more libertarian than the movie.
I'm sure.
Because the rats' whole motivation, like the schism between the good rats and the evil rats, is the ones who are willing to steal. All right, well, there you go.
There you go. Too busy. I thought he was too busy
too
talking.
Too busy talking to do a talk radio show.
Yeah. All right, so the thing about Chris Cantwell...
boring.
Okay. The thing about Chris Cantwell, no, this is a compliment. I'm going to talk about how sometimes he sounds like a retard, literally, and I'm going to use that un-PC word on the air. He has written articles that are brilliantly written, and interestingly, like, don't not only have great structure, like beginning, middle, end, makes a thesis, backs it up, then concludes it. There's no typos in them, man. Like, it's rare. To see blog posts that have zero typos. And it actually led Davi and I to conjecture in our episode, Is Chris Cantwell a Cop? That maybe Chris Cantwell like had a team of government agents behind him, COINTELPRO people writing his articles. But I don't think that's true, but it sure can seem that way sometimes because he writes this brilliant stuff. And then sometimes his replies to people in the comments section, like his replies right before he blocked me from his blog, really literally sound like they're written by an 8-year-old who's not very smart. You know, like you write this,
bite me in real life.
Like, yeah. Or like fight me in real life or like bite me or just like retard stuff, man. It's kind of like he's two different people, which, maybe there's King Baby and then there's like a brilliant scholar in there somewhere, but King Baby
well,
is
I mean, that's, schizophrenic.
Maybe.
Well, no, I mean, I've noticed that amongst alcoholics that I've known, like it's almost a bipolar type personality. Like they can be extremely coherent and clear in one sense, and then just when they're like flipped off or something, when their personality shifts, it's like they're a completely different person.
The anger.
Maybe he's Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge.
Oh yeah, all right.
Anger turns
Zero
down.
Zero Hedge Tyler Durden.
I think it's more like whenever those people get angry, when they get angry, it turns their IQ down 100 points.
It could be.
Yeah. All right. So let's finish up this King Baby thing and then get into Molyneux's corporate structure that recently happened.
So the next one is catastrophizing events. And I just want to say paperclip.
Paperclip.
I would also say MK calling into Free Talk Live.
Well, what he was saying is that I was a social justice warrior who couldn't handle him speaking the truth. And all I was pointing out was that he was just picking on someone who he perceived as weaker than him. And it was catastrophizing it. And he was saying also, he was using the argument, if people don't stand against this terrible ideology, no matter where it rears its ugly head, we're never going to have freedom thing. And it's like, it's really not that necessary to attack every single person
well,
who
then,
believes in
and
this
the fact,
ideology you disagree with.
The fact, that he says, the fact that he says you're a feminist and a social justice warrior, and that's what's driving your critique of him when neither of those things are true and you're quite the opposite.
No.
Let me jump down the list here a little bit. Jumping to conclusions. That is a King Baby syndicator, and so is,
you know, I don't want to go full Ouroboros here, but his like main problem with social justice warriors is they get really pissed off about like language that people use, and then he did the exact same thing
Your
about
name.
The word patriarchy
and the word
and the
MK
word
Lords.
Rape culture
and the word MK
so he's
Lords.
Got a list of
and libertarian welfare queens.
So he's got a list of forbidden words that
yes,
are unjust
does.
To use, yeah. Right?
Like, you know why else he doesn't
triggered.
Like social justice warriors is because they get attention and get things done, and he largely doesn't.
Well, like, there are a lot of social justice warriors you could attack. You know, like, if you want to attack feminists, you could definitely punch up at someone Amanda Marquette
Absolutely.
Or something. But that's not what was being done
knew,
here, and that's
you,
what I was pointing out.
If you
out.
Cared enough to know who that is, and I don't. But, okay, feeling misjudged and underappreciated. Man, that is both of these cats. But, you know,
well, that's Monitor Porkfest Idol all over, right? He was literally judged by judges and he feels misjudged by them, right?
And underappreciated. And I would say,
and with Molyneux, I mean, he's like, he thinks he's the best thing in 2,500 years that's happened to philosophy.
There you go. Well, that goes to another one here. Expressions of superiority that mask insecurity and egoic pride.
Yeah.
We're still not done with this list, man. It's not that long.
We're almost done.
It's a bit redundant.
We're like 70% done.
Lack of trust. I don't know.
We haven't
been
saying check. I guess we've just been describing all of them.
There's check. Well, I said it was check for both of them on all of them, except the one about money. I said was not a check for Cantwell, but you said that he seems to have pride in being poor.
There
you
is know, a kind of pride in this. Poverty, which is a Marxist thing.
I will say
but
this.
Maybe he has it.
For someone who is such a champion for capitalism, he's not very good at it. If he's constantly broke,
you
could
say that about
most
libertarians.
Yeah. Well, it's usually true about libertarians who are trying to make their money talking about liberty. I don't make my money talking about liberty. I make like $200 a month at the Freedom Fiends, and often it goes back into buying stuff for the show. No, I don't. I have a day job. We all have day jobs.
So spreading liberty is an oath of poverty? Is that what we're getting at?
I think you can have an oath of poverty without making it a point of pride. I mean, I think monks do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of priests and nuns. I do. Sure. I did when I was that poor, you know. And I guess I have I have a kind of egoic pride about being able to get like the best sound of anybody on less money than anybody. You know, and but I teach other people to do it. I share it. I don't hold it to my vest and watch it on one monitor. You know,
you definitely have an acquisition of equipment thing going on.
No, it flows through me, man. I give it away. I don't have. Yeah, that's I don't true. Have it stockpiled at all. I have usually what I'm using and like one extra mic in case it fails. And you know, there are Freedom Fiends that have, you know, $400 rack mount units that I gave them because I bought a new one. I didn't sell it on eBay. I passed it on, man. All right, so entitlement,
you skipped lack of trust.
No, I mentioned lack of trust. Well, we didn't have examples for lack of trust.
I can't really speak one way or the other whether or not either of them has a lack of trust.
I think I've maybe instilled some lack of trust in Cantwell because I did mention recently that after he blocked me, I revised one of my old socks. I actually had been following him on Facebook under a different name. A few other people, like I came on Facebook and I was like, I'm not going to be me. I'm going to be someone else when I came back because I just wanted to use it to like post things, not to be on there. And I got sick of that and I was like, okay, I'll make a real one and use my real name. But I checked that other one once in a while just to see if there are any messages on it and they're, you know, just spam. But I actually I can see what Cantwell posts on his Facebook page that he's blocked from me. And I mentioned that. And I think that probably brought up some distrust in him, like going through his list going, I wonder if he blocked like 10 people thinking they might have been me. I don't know, man. But there it is.
He has like essentially like a McCarthyism for his website. Have you or are you or have you ever been Michael W. Dean?
Or have you ever been critical of him? Really? I mean, he is kind of McCarthyistic. And, you know, it's somebody's right to block them from your own website or even your own Facebook page. Absolutely. But I think it's very hypocritical when he's written articles like how to troll people for fun and profit, you know, like told step by step, like useful info on how to make money with clickbait and like getting people riled up at you. And he says in it, you know, block them or don't, but this is like a year ago, but apparently now he blocks all of them. And, you know, it's just kind of hypocritical that he's the guy who will troll anybody and scream at anybody and try to get people riled up and talking about him. And then when, you know, this little woman calls in and cheerfully says, I want to talk to you. He runs screaming, you know, like he got beat up by a girl. That's what I think.
So next is entitlement.
Check and check. Both those guys.
And then last but not least, expecting to be treated with deference.
Which deference, remind me what that means. It means like with special treatment, right?
I think it means special treatment.
Yeah, like special treatment. Like, you know, when someone calls in on Free Talk Live where he's basically a guest, not really a host, and you know, and their motto is radio you control. He tries to control it and get rid of the caller before he
deference means humble submission and respect.
Yeah. He wants to be worshipped. King babies do. So that I would say that one really fits a lot more of Molyneux. And I want to segue into him. You know, he is, talk about what Molyneux does. I don't want this to all come from me. What has he done that, that seems to be with that?
Molyneux seems to have, he has these roots and this sort of fan base and this reputation of being one of the more sort of philosophically consistent and principled anarchist thinkers in the liberty movement today. And then he does crazy things like defend grand jury decisions and defend police officer shootings and praise American Sniper as something that gets under the skin of leftists rather than talking about the like blatant propaganda of the film. And so he's essentially, I've coined the term philostitute. He's sold out his principles in exchange for what he imagines is going to garner him more donations. And he's sort of playing this game where he like, I really think he's not saying what he knows is accurate because he thinks it's going to harm his sort of conservative listener base now.
I think he's trying to replace Glenn Beck. He wants to be Glenn Beck.
I think he's switching to a more profitable model. I think the men's rights activists have more people behind them,
but they don't have any money because they're all
possibly
they don't have much money because they're all paying out like you know two divorce settlements constantly.
Maybe
I think what he did
but
is
no,
he,
I think they have a larger following, and he's trying to subtly switch to that.
And they're like middle-aged people that have probably jobs, whereas you know I think he came in and like sucked all the money he could out of the you know. 17-year-old college to 25-year-old college kids, and it's gone. Like, he's completely decimated, and he's moving on to other territory.
Well, he also got in just in time to hit a good Bitcoin peak when a lot of these younger people had invested heavily in Bitcoin and donated large amounts of Bitcoin to him. So he profited heavily.
Yep, and you can see what amount of Bitcoin he has, too. It's public record, because that's the thing about Bitcoin. Supposed to be secret, but it's not really secret.
I think the main thing recently has been, well, there's lying. There's just straight up lying on the Seth Rogen show. And there's also the
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, different Rogan. There's the intellectual property issues about the DMCA attack on True Shibes. And
he recently started a corporation and registered a trademark too. And it's kind of weird because it's like, this corporation like built around like retroactively like putting a shell corporation kind of over Free Domain Radio. I've talked to a few attorneys and they said it looks like an attempt to try to shield, you know, his private possession. So if he loses this lawsuit, you know, he won't lose his house or whatever. But they've also said that probably won't work because it was created after, you know, after the lawsuit was initiated. So we'll be back with, you know, I'm just going to link that in the show notes because I really need to talk about horrible WordPress plugins because that's the like really news you can use take away from this when we get back. And MK may be on tomorrow with Davi and I.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
That wasn't really making fun. It was just a factual statement.
That's true. That is true. I'll leave it in. It's like, you know, it may be a great product, but it's like, I don't know that that's good.
I don't know what that even means, alkaline. I know that in the movie Interstellar, they talked about a planet where the atmosphere was all ammonia, but in near the poles, it was alkaline. And I don't know what that means, but it's apparently better than ammonia.
Okay.
MK's dropping out a lot. Are you hitting your buff dump at all?
Yeah, I'm buff. I just buff dumped it.
You just took a buff dump? You should be doing it while you're talking, not while we're talking.
Right, yeah. Right, that's what I was trying to do. I remember. Yeah, I don't really have any plugins except this Akismet. That's a plugin thing that just kind of came with it, I thought.
Yeah, it comes with it. Blogging is...
I haven't added anything on my blog. Bitcoin.bombs might have some different plugins, though.
Yeah, Drew manages that. I don't really know.
Right, yeah.
I don't honestly...
Here we go.
I've never...
We're going. We're live. Freedom Fiends. So, we're going to get off the criticism train here and criticize some, instead of people, we're going to criticize some plugins for WordPress that will ruin your life. And I actually recommended one of these plugins at one point, and I've gone back online and unrecommended it every place I recommended it. But there is a plugin for WordPress, which is blogging software, if you're not following along. WordPress is great. I mean, I used to actually blog before there was blogging software, like in the late 90s. I just had a website that I would, you know, edit the HTML text and like put at the top, I'd put whatever I'm up to. Like, there's the project I'm doing this week. And then push the other ones down until it was this long, huge streaming single page. Blogging software makes that really easy. It makes it really categorized really well, really separated well, really easy to navigate, easy to search, easy to back up. You know, doesn't use a lot of system resources if you have it configured correctly. And it's very scalable, you know, from like one viewer to millions of viewers. You can use the same software. So you cannot use the same server for that, though. So I used to be on HostGator, and I'm still on it with a bunch of my sites, but they're sites like, you know, kittyfeet.com. They don't have that much traffic anymore. And I've got three sites that get a lot of traffic, and it's the Freedom Fiend site, or two sites that get a lot of traffic and one site that gets a bit of traffic. The Freedom Fiend site gets a lot of traffic to the point where we had to move it to a dedicated server that Derek Slopey runs. And the Freedom Fiends blog, which doesn't get that much traffic, but it's on the same, you know, it's a folder on that other site. And then the Fiend Phone site, which is getting a lot of traffic. So we put those all on his dedicated server. You know, he's got like five websites on one computer in a rack somewhere, not in Iraq, but on a computer rack in a data hosting place, you know, high speed, everything. And, you know, Ernie Hancock's site is on the same computer. And then Derek has a gaming forum on the same computer. So, you know, it runs a lot better than it did when I was on shared hosting at HostGator, where they put like 500 websites on one of those computers. And those computers are kind of like cable internet. Like, you know, if your neighbor is using a lot of bandwidth, it slows you down. So HostGator makes you put in this plugin called WP Supercache. That has its own problems in the way it works, even in that, like, sometimes people will be looking at your website and the post you did an hour ago is not showing at the top. You know, it's showing yesterday's post, but it slows down system use. Now, there's a huge problem with that program, and this is why I'm not recommending it, is it does not clean up its trash. So before we moved the sites to Derek's server, I deleted that plugin, you know, turned it off and deleted it. Use the delete function in the WordPress interface. It should have just taken out every record of it. It does not. It leaves some text in the WP config file that makes the, every time there's a web hit, it's calling for a reference to another file that doesn't exist, or another folder that does not exist anymore, because you've moved it, the file path has changed, and it's calling to a folder that isn't there anymore. So it hammers the resources of your website. When you get a lot of traffic, you know, if you're getting like 100 hits at a time, it makes the computer think you're getting 10,000 hits at a time. So it really overwhelms stuff. And the site was down, you know, and that's not like 10,000 hits isn't that much to get on a site, but it is to get at one specific second. And that's what it was tricking it into thinking was happening. And that's why the website was down on and off. You know, we were getting like 100 hits to 500 hits in certain seconds, and the web server was thinking we were getting 10,000 or 100,000. So do not use the WordPress plugin WP Supercache. If you have it, delete it, and then you're probably going to need to go into your WP config file and comment those lines out. I'm going to do a blog post on it, but please, people, if you're using WordPress, do not use that plugin. So, MK, you use WordPress. What plugins are you using? Is she there?
Do we have a MK?
I don't know. I think it's past her bedtime. But maybe she'll be back tomorrow.
There you go. We'll see, I guess.
I think something came up. All right. Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
Tomorrow night, Davy Barker and I. It'll be grand.
Yep.
And wonderful.
I'll be here in 22 hours.
Thanks for the good time there, brother man.
Worms.
Worms. There she is. She had to run away from it. Give me a worms, MK.
Worms.